Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome on into In the Hoop, brought to you by the Sports Buffoons and Let's Talk Sports. My name's Tanner Dawson. Of course, joining me is my other half on the Sports Buffoon, JG. JG, what's up, dude?
What's happening, guys?
Welcome on in. And then, of course, Scott Cobe, the guy that's on the Let's Talk Sports show with me every Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday morning. Scott, what's up, dude?
Not much. How you guys doing this morning?
Good. We're good. It's still hot and humid here, cloudy. Hopefully some rain will come through and it'll clear some of this up for a minute. That'd be nice here.
So. It is here too, so.
It's rough.
It
is. But, you know, it's a world of summer in the Midwest, at least for us. It's a normal.
Yeah.
So this is what we get at least, you know, 3 months of the year, so 4 months of the year. So what it is. Guys, I don't know if you caught it, but NBA free agency started yesterday. On June 30th there, of course, on a Friday, because why not? Because that's the awesome part of it. So there was a bunch of...
Yeah, Eastern time, too. I mean, what a random time.
Come it's on, just really? Weird stuff, right? I mean, they stop free agency in signings, you know, usually at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So
it is
what it is. But, guys, there was a bunch of signings, kind of surprisingly to me. I didn't expect this much news to pop off in 12 hours. Essentially. So there's a bunch of signings here today, which we'll go over and we'll talk about a few of those as well. And we'll announce a couple others here. So JG, which one do you want to kick off first, man?
I think it's the same one that everybody would want to kick off with.
And Bruce Brown of the Pacers. I agree. Dude, this is insane.
Oh, hell no.
Re-signed by the Pacers.
What do we care about the most in the American culture? We care about the Los Angeles Lakers, and they have been extremely active. A lot of people didn't think they would bring back Rui Hachimura, but they did. They also signed Taurean Prince, who is a really good three-point shooter. So they're doing what they should be doing. They're still trying to build shooters around LeBron James. Also brought in Gabe Vincent.
Yep.
Cam Reddish, not a guy that moves the needle for me, but and they've made a qualifying offer to Austin Reeves. And so it's kind of a low offer. I think it was like 4 years, $52 million or something like that. Yeah. Somebody will offer him more than that, and then the Lakers will get a chance to match that. But they need to bring back Austin Reeves because although they got swept in the playoffs against Denver, they still made it to the conference finals. And you look at a team like Denver now, people don't think it's that big of a deal that Bruce Brown is gone. That is a huge deal. He was basically the Draymond Green for that team. He did all the dirty work. He hit his three-pointers. And so that's a much bigger deal than people think. Bruce Brown was awesome for Denver. And so now you're the Lakers, you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, we were competitive in all four of those games. Even though we got swept, we were competitive. And now they don't have Bruce Brown. So if we were to replay that series right now and you're the Lakers, you bring back more shooters, you bring in Gabe Vincent, I think that's
they win a game. Yeah.
That series looks a whole lot different based on the fact that Denver does not have Bruce Brown. And so it's good to see that the Lakers are active. They're going to run it back with LeBron. I know we never trust Anthony Davis to be healthy, but, you know, if they get lucky and he is healthy, you brought in some shooters, and that's going to make the Lakers a contender. And so I think that's the biggest thing that I've noticed so far in free agency is that the Lakers are active. They're not giving up. We'll see what happens. I don't see a scenario where they could move off Anthony Davis. I've been calling for them to do that for like the last 3 years, ever since they won the championship. I've said, you need to move off of AD and get some value there. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that right now, but we'll see what happens. But it's good to see that the Lakers are active.
It is.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that the problem last year was at times was shooting the basketball. And I think Gabe Vincent coming in gives them a really good shooter. I think that re-signing Hachimura gives them the guy off the bench, the sixth man that they want and they need. And if they when they sign Austin Reeves, I have a feeling it's going to be closer to 4 years and maybe in the 70, low 70s someplace. I think there'll be a team that can contend with Denver even more than last year because they could shoot the basketball and they could play defense. Gabe Vincent showed he could play defense. Reeves will play defense. Hachimura will play defense. LeBron plays defense, but that's a little less than it was earlier in his career, understandably. So the only guy they really lost was Dennis Schroeder off the team. And that's it. And that's a bit.
That's the Nets, though.
Yeah. Which is probably addition by subtraction, if you want.
Exactly.
Have fun.
And right. So I think the Lakers will not be in that play-in scenario that next year. I think they'll be a 5 or 6 seed at worst with these moves that they've made. So
they got the bird on Malik Beasley and also D'Angelo Russell for the rights, along with Mohamed Bamba. Do you think they go after those guys and try to retain those guys with the bird rights?
I don't really see the point of bringing back D'Angelo Russell since you brought in Gabe Vincent. I mean, now the only exception to that would be is we got to figure out what happens with Austin Reeves. If they were to somehow lose Austin Reeves, then I would definitely try to bring back D'Angelo Russell. But if Reeves is there now with Gabe Vincent, I mean, I don't really feel a need to bring back D'Angelo Russell.
Exactly.
What about Lonnie Walker? Do they go after Lonnie? He has a non-bird, so they'd have to really sign him for money. Or do you think Lonnie goes somewhere else?
I don't think they need him, man. I mean, people don't realize, because we don't talk about Taurean Prince. He shoots 38% for his career from three. He's a really good three-point shooter.
He is.
And I think if they bring back Austin Reeves, they have enough shooters as it is right now. Yeah. So I don't think they need to bring back either one of those guys.
I mean, Taurean Prince, when he was with Baylor, he was a freaking shooter. So, and he's a big guy, too. He's pretty big for a shooter as well, body size-wise. So having a guy like that, he's going to be able to drive the ball as well. I think Prince is in a pretty damn good situation right now.
I could see maybe if I had to pick one, I would bring back Beasley. But I wouldn't care about D'Angelo Russell.
I agree. Beasley would be your circled guy. He really made a difference in that roster when he got traded there, and he was really effective. So I agree with you there. I think Beasley is your target of that list of who else you're signing outside of Reeves.
And I seriously doubt Beasley's going to cost you a ton of money to re-sign up again for the Lakers.
Yeah. He is a cap hold of $23,000 right now, but I mean, it's not going to be, it's going to be about that much. So,
right. So,
Alan, Nick, this is not an ESPN show. This is an NBA show, guys. Okay.
Jeez.
We'll cover the ESPN drama tomorrow morning. Okay.
Yes.
We do love in general.
But I do love
shooting. We do love to talk about people getting fired. We do get off on that.
So, Jason, that's Jason's alley right there.
Yeah. And for Scott, the record, I was not responsible in this for firing any of these people.
I didn't hear you say it on air, so I can't put you as responsibility this time around. It goes, I'm head of the ESPN.
I tell you what though, I would have definitely fired Max Kellerman. I think he deserved to be fired.
I think Max is gonna go to Fox. He's gonna be the other side of Skip. So
that's
what I'm aiming for.
I think
that'd be hilarious.
Scott, who's our next signee we're going to talk about?
It's got to be Kyrie. 3 years. Three years, $126 million with Dallas. I did some digging in last year. When Kyrie got traded to Dallas, they were in fourth place in the West, 31-27. They were just barely above 500, but they were in fourth in the West. As soon as Kyrie stepped foot on the court, they went 8-12 and missed the playoffs. So Luka needs the ball. Kyrie needs the ball. This did not mesh well last year. I don't know how this is going to go, but I can't see this fit going really any much better than it went last year, at the end of last year. Because you're alienating a lot of the other guys, because these guys are going to put up, 70 shots a game? 75 shots a game, probably? Somewhere in that range? So to me, I don't know what, and I don't think there was a market out there for Kyrie. There weren't a lot of teams that were you know, Phoenix was going to talk to him, but they weren't going to sign him, I don't believe. They don't have the money to sign him. He was going back to Dallas no matter what. And this is a lot of money to be paying this guy, $40 million a year. So I don't know what they're going to put around these two guys, but it's not going to be very good for Dallas, I don't believe. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, but it's kind of one of those situations where they didn't have a choice. I mean, there's no other free agents out there that you could bring in and make an impact. The one thing that I will say is that, you know, you brought in Kyrie midway through the season, and a lot of times it takes time to build chemistry between superstars like Luka and Kyrie. And so I would give it a chance just to see how it goes. They just signed Seth Curry, who is 40% from three per career. So they've got a big shooter in there now to put around those two guys. So they just got to try to move the ball a little bit better and, you know, maybe try to do an inside, more of an inside out game. I mean, Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, if nothing else, they're slashers, man. They can get to the rack and then kick it out to Seth Curry, because Curry is a guy that's going to knock down those threes. And so I think it's going to be better for sure than what you saw in the second half of last year when those guys were just kind of trying to feel each other out. But in terms of seeding, I mean, they should make the playoffs for sure. But as far as how far they're going to go, I mean, I don't think they're going to be a contender.
Here's the thing, though, is they should make the playoffs, but this is also the same situation over in Phoenix, where you got two great guys and a very, very, very minimal depth on the bench right now, and depth in the starting lineup, really, outside of Tim Hardaway Jr., who's probably your third best on the team, and then you got Seth Curry, who's going to probably come off the bench. Like, you don't have a great roster. The Suns are in the same situation. So they might make the playoffs, but you're not going to go far, because we saw this year what it means to have that kind of depth.
To me, Dallas might be earmarked to play one in those play-in games. Yeah. That's what I
think. I wouldn't be surprised.
If they're going to make it, they're going to have to make it by winning in the play-in series to get into the playoffs. I just don't know how this is going to work. I don't know if Luka is high on the signing. I think Dallas could have waited, you know, and I think they paid $40 million. I think they paid a little too much for him, to be honest with you. I think if you paid $35 million, that would have got him $30 million. And then you could have gone out and got some pieces to build around Luka and Kyrie. So,
and the biggest problem I think they have is just that they're not going to play shit for defense. I mean, we know Luka and Kyrie can't really play shit for defense.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think when you look at Phoenix, Miami? I think Phoenix is in a little bit better situation because they've got three guys now that can, you know, give you a ton of points in any given game. And so I think Phoenix is in a much better situation than Dallas. And I think also for Phoenix, I mean, they're going to be a contender no matter how thin you think that bench is. They're going to be a contender in the West no matter what. And I mean, they got two games against Denver. That's something that the Lakers couldn't do. I mean, they're going to be a contender, but the bench for the Mavs and the lack of defense for the Mavs is just, it's going to be a bad,
it's going to kill them.
It's going to be ugly, but again, they have to make the playoffs.
I do like that the bench does have a couple guys that are on contract years, right? It's contract time for them almost as of next year. Reggie Bullock, you know, he's going to have to prove something there within that Dallas team here this year to get that extension or at least sign with somebody else, along with Josh Green, young guy still 22. But that's the guy that's going to be looking to try to impress and improve there with 2024 contract coming up. So it's going to be – This Dallas team's gonna be interesting. I'd be curious to see if they make one more move. I don't know what that move is, but I'd be curious to see what they do with that. And I don't know exactly if salary cap works the same way as NFL, where it's fake. And it sounds fake to me. Oh, it all sounds fake, right? In the end, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go after a big and that big over there that's in the Phoenix right now. I could see that happening as well.
DeAndre Ayton, yep.
Yep. Could you bring in, I was thinking way outside the box. Could you bring in D'Angelo Russell and put Kyrie at the two?
You could
get the fucking ball out of his hands, but, man. Because that's all these guys do. They know how to dribble.
Wouldn't you want Kyrie to have the ball and put D Russell at two? Because I think D Russell, like, he's great with the ball, but I think Kyrie's better. And when he was with Cleveland, that championship year when LeBron came in to save him, he allowed to take it down to the court. His passing was amazing. His shooting was more on top of it. And I think if you can open that up just a little bit, I mean, D. Russell's side would be perfect. The only guy I would put above Kyrie Irving from taking the ball down would be Fred VanVleet coming in. That'd be the only other guy.
I just want to see more ball movement, and that's why I would want to see Kyrie more off the ball, because at least with D'Angelo Russell, you could have somewhat of a facilitator in there. They need more ball movement, man, because, I mean, it's going to be dribble, dribble, dribble all day long with Luka and Kyrie, which is, you know, I enjoy watching that shit, but for a lot of people, that's like boring basketball, man.
They had a point guard. Yeah, they had a point guard. He's playing for the Knicks now. Jalen Brunson.
And they didn't offer him a contract.
There you go. That would have been the guy. That would have been a perfect solution.
Do you guys see a guy such as Christian Wood coming back, Dwight Powell, anybody else like that for this Mavericks team?
Yeah, I think they got
bird rights on those two.
Yeah, I think they got to keep them based on what the situation is right now in terms of financial, you know, package for them.
So. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, cool. Jason, who's our next signee we're going to talk about?
Well, let's go ahead and throw Fred VanVleet out there because I was certainly disappointed because I wanted him to come play for my team, the Spurs, or at least go to a contender. But now he's down there in Houston, and you know that I'm sure they're building something down there with Ime Udoka. But for me, it was a big disappointment. Obviously, I'm glad that he got his money. But yeah. Fred VanVleet to the Houston Rockets was kind of a disappointment for me.
Scott?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised at this, that they signed him into the contract. They signed him. I knew he was going to command big dollars, but 3 years, $130 million, that's a big-time contract for a guy.
Three years.
Yeah. He's the man in Houston, obviously. They're earmarking him as the man.
For God's sake. Please don't let them bring in James Harden to play with him.
I think that ship is sailing. I don't think Udoka wants him, to be honest with you. I hope not,
because I mean, there was a lot of talk about him going back to Houston, and I mean, I just that would be such a disaster to see him go down in flames and bring Fred VanVleet with him.
I still think that there's this guy in green that Udoka is going to go after and do his best to get. I don't think the Celtics want to pay two big contracts to a duo that's taken in the playoffs, almost to the finals each year. So I still see Jaylen Brown coming into Houston, play it back with his coach, the coach he wants to play for, and going to Houston to play with Fred VanVleet as well. You know, I still see a very possible case of this happening over James Harden coming into Houston.
The thing about it is, I don't think Wick Grosbeck, the Celtics owner, wants to pay that category.
I don't think he does.
Luxury tax penalty. So, yeah, I mean, they just signed Porzingis to, 2 years, $60 million, I think they did with him yesterday. So, yeah, Jaylen Brown, you know, it might be a year delay, but I think Brown could be gone to Houston.
It's all lined up, and Houston has the money. It's not like they don't have money. So, like, Brown wants out of, you know, you said it earlier during the playoffs, Jason. Brown wants out of Boston. Mm-hmm. He's not happy with the city because, you know, it's Boston and you know, the way they treat some players as well. So, like, you got the chance to go to Houston, where it's probably not any, I mean, honestly, it's not any better anywhere you go, but they make it seem that way. And I think you go back with a coach you want to go back with. Udoka is the guy that Brown loved, and he excelled in that same kind of program there. And having back reunion, you get paid your money that you want, because you know Brown's going to throw a fit if he doesn't get paid. So it's just a perfect match in a way, and there's still draft picks and pieces that Houston can give up if he needs to as well.
Yeah, I definitely like the fit there. My thing would be, you know, in terms of what Scott said, maybe waiting a year. I mean, let's do it right now. I mean, if you just now signed Fred VanVleet, I mean, like, make it happen. Let's see it happen right now. I mean, I would love to see VanVleet play with Jaylen Brown, and that would be a couple of big pieces that you could build on.
Didn't they trade for Wiseman from Golden State too? Don't they have Wiseman down there as well?
Ugh. Man, do we really care? I mean,
no, I understand.
No, they don't. No, Wiseman's not on the current contract.
Okay, so what I think Udoka is trying to do is build it young, and then get a younger type of veteran in to lead that team and lead that way. So I agree with Tanner and with you, Jake. I think that Jaylen Brown would be a great fit into Houston for Udoka.
Yeah. So right now you're looking at still the Thompson, Amon Thompson, who got drafted, and Cam Whitmore. Yeah. Both of those guys still got to sign. As far as birds here, Boban Marjanovic is the only one that has a bird right now for the Houston Rockets. And then a local guy here in Kansas City in Olathe area, Willie Cauley-Stein, still out there with a non-bird, and Frank Kaminsky, the former Wisconsin guy, out there with a bird. So. Like, there's not a lot there sitting on the cap holds. There's not a lot of guys that you had last year you're going to re-sign. So I think going after a guy like Brown is the right idea for this team.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too, because this team, you know, Udoka knows how to build it. So a young veteran like Jaylen Brown could really help him.
I agree. What we got here? We got Facebook user. Give me a second. Oh, it's Carlos, the Mad New Yorker. What's up, dude? Harden, Kyrie's paying that money for low production. Brown to Orlando? Probably not. Brown is not a superstar. That gives too much. Look, I think Brown could be a superstar. He just has that other superstar that's sitting right there next to him.
Yep. Agreed.
All right. Jason, who's our next signee?
I want to bring up one person right now that has not been signed. That is somebody on the Hornets that has received a qualifying offer. That's Miles Bridges. Mm-hmm. And the reason I want to bring him up is because he's a restricted free agent, already received the offer. But I think a better fit for him would be the LA Clippers. So the Clippers are opening up a new arena, and a lot of people have talked about maybe them breaking up that team. You know, whether that means getting rid of Kawhi or Paul George, I think the one way that they could go all in this new arena is to make an offer for Miles Bridges. Now, obviously the Hornets will be able to match that. But if you're the Hornets, I mean, you're not going to why would you put out that much money on Miles Bridges? You're not going anywhere. But that would form a very interesting big three for me, if they can stay healthy. If you had Kawhi, Paul George, and Miles Bridges on that team, and I would actually bring back Russell Westbrook, who is also a free agent right now, because I don't really care about the fact that Westbrook is not a great shooter. We wouldn't need him to shoot in that situation. You bring in Miles Bridges, who was averaging 20.7 rebounds on 50% field goal shooting the last time we saw him. That would be a very interesting fit for me. So that's one of the things I'm keeping my eye on. In terms of other players that have gotten signed already, obviously we talked about the Pacers and bringing in Bruce Brown. They re-signed Tyrese Halliburton. So those were obviously two great signings for the Pacers. But yeah, I didn't know what you guys thought about that Miles Bridges issue there, but what do you think about the Clippers?
Well, the Clippers situation is this. I believe I heard right that Kawhi and George can walk after this coming season. They got opt-outs. So I think that's why you're looking at, you know, they're looking at Harden with a keen eye. And I agree with you. I think they should sign Bridges to go with Westbrook. I'm assuming they're going to sign Westbrook back again. Yeah, he didn't show anything for them not to re-sign him. So I think he's coming back. But I'd keep a really close eye on this George and Kawhi situation, whether the Clippers try to trade one of them out if they bring in Harden. So,
right. But they would have to trade George first, right? Because you wouldn't have the money to sign Bridges if you didn't trade George first.
But if you flipped one of those guys for James Larden, does that really affect the team that much? That you're actually getting worse. You bring in old man Larden and you trade away one of your pieces. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree. Right. Brian Scalabrine on NBA Radio said that Harden seems to stunt the growth of a lot of his teammates when he's around because he commands the ball in his hands a lot. So I think in L.A., once he gets the ball from Westbrook, I think it's like that dark hole. It's never coming back again. So,
yeah, and I don't see Charlotte necessarily matching any offer either.
No, I don't think so.
With Bridges. So, like, I think Bridges is going to find another destination. You drafted Brandon Miller to essentially replace Bridges. So I think you're seeing him on his way out. As far as the other birds around here, restricted bird with PJ Washington and an early bird for Kelly Oubre Jr. So, you know, you're not going to probably resign any of those guys. Maybe Kelly. That'd be about it. So, but like Miles Bridges is on his way out. I love the picture of him going to the Clippers because it would be a cheaper contract than the George. And you wouldn't have to worry about Harden being there. And you could get another piece or some draft picks there with a George trade. So I think it'd be the perfect solution there for the Clippers if you're going to get rid of Paul George.
Would you, as Carlos just asked in the comments, would you trade Julius Randle for Bridges if you're the Knicks?
No.
I don't think so either, but.
It wouldn't help either team.
Right.
I mean, it'd probably help the Knicks more, but now you're losing that center. You're losing a four or five guy that can shoot threes at times. Yeah. Not very often, but she can shoot threes. But you're Charlotte isn't getting any better with that trade, and the Knicks aren't really getting any better either. So
Agreed.
You just lose depth.
Agreed.
Right. I mean, this isn't the Sun situation where you got three superstars. Your Knicks, you got one great guy. And then you got a bunch, you know, up and down average guys over there in the Knicks. So, you know, Randall's a 4 or 5, dude. So, you know, on that.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts, Jason? Would you do that? Bridges for Randall?
No. I mean, I do like – now, if I were the Knicks, you know, I do like Miles Bridges better. But I'm not doing the trade because it just doesn't – it's not enough to move the needle.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. All right. Let's see here. Jason, that was yours, Jason, right? So, Scott, what's your next signing?
I think the Draymond signing we should talk about.
It has to be.
4 years, $100 million. I haven't seen any details of the contract come out. I don't know if it's backloaded. I don't know what the deal is. I mean, Draymond's, what, 2 more years, I think, and that's it at max? I think he's done after 2 more years. I mean,
well, he's 33, right? So you're looking at a guy playing until he's 37, 38 in this organization. Steph Curry's 35. Klay Thompson's 33. So there's your big three on that team. Outside of Wiggins.
You know, Steph wants him back. Steph loves him. So I think this is kind of like that Steph type of signing where he went to the front office and said, I don't care what you got to do, get Draymond back again.
Kind of what Gina said on Thursday night. Gina's like, hey, Steph's going to go up there. If he wants him, they're going to get him. And Jason, you said it too this last couple of weeks when I was questioning it, that I was like, I mean, do they really bring a guy like that back? And they did.
Yeah, that's the guy that they had to bring back along with Steph. I still want to see what happens to Dame Lillard, though. I know, Tanner, earlier you said that you think that they're – legit when they say that they're hell-bent on keeping him. But I think that they're just with them saying that they're trying to drive up the asking price, but there's a price for everybody. And so I'm glad you brought up the Warriors because I still think they're going to try to move off of Klay Thompson, and Klay Thompson's making a ton of money. Could we move off of Klay and flip him for Damian Lillard? And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, why would you do that? You just brought in Chris Paul. Well, you brought him in to run the second unit.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to flip somebody and move off of a contract, it's Klay Thompson. And you could do a deal like that. Absolutely. You could make it happen. Klay Thompson for Dame Lillard, throw in some picks. Now, all of a sudden, we always try to talk about, well, you know, the Warriors are going to try to run it back again, but we don't really think they have enough. You bring in Dame Lillard, I'm going to tell you right now, you've got more than enough to win a championship if you make that deal. And so I don't know what the asking price is, but, you know, the Warriors could give you some picks along with Klay Thompson. And, that would work for me, man.
I mean, the thing with Draymond is this. Even if they offered him 2 years and $30 million, he's still going to sign it. He's going to stay in Golden State. He's not going.
Oh, yeah.
Supposedly he had other teams talking to him. He's not leaving Golden State. So if Golden State says, we'll offer you 2 years, $30, $35 million, he'd have signed it in a minute. So I just think they overpaid for a guy that is going to give you, like, what, 6 to 8 points a game and, you know, 10 to 12 rebounds a game. He passes the ball really well. That's a big overpay in my mind. I don't
think you need
four and 100 to get him.
I would say it would be an overpay for any other team because he has no value on any other team. But for the Warriors, like, they depend so much on his defense and his playmaking ability. Yeah. We all know that he can't shoot. He used to be able to shoot a little bit. Now he can't shoot worth a shit. But on the Warriors specifically, he has a ton of value because of his defense and the fact that he can make plays.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
I'm with you there. It wasn't super surprising, but I was still kind of surprised because this was their chance to go a different direction, a different style of going after maybe some other guys. Other than Draymond for this and build some more depth in this team. But again, I'm not super surprised by this here. Looking here, what they have, they have Andre Iguodala for an early bird and David West for early bird. So you're not really going after anybody on your bench that you had, Matt Barnes, I doubt it. Or no, that's old, man. How do they still got Bogut and Barnes on their cap holes? Holy crap. That's old stuff.
I wonder if they extended Bogut out when they signed him.
I think so. There's still $2 billion of each here on their cap.
Yeah, man. Remember Bobby Bonilla with the Mets, how they extended him out to
2000? Oh, yeah, happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Bobby Bonilla today. Day.
Yeah.
That's probably what they did with Bogut. They did the same thing. They just extended him out.
That's hilarious. I was just looking at it. I'm like, wait a minute. These guys are – what? So, yeah, that's pretty funny there. But, yeah, there's nobody sitting there that they haven't already have on the roster that's worth going out for. You're looking at free agency right now, essentially, to kind of fill out your depth that you can. Yeah. So,
yeah,
you know, not too much there.
The problem with Golden State is, and I agree with Alan on that, the problem with Golden State is they got to find a replacement for Jordan Poole. You know, you trade Jordan Poole, you got Chris Paul back. Chris Paul's not the shooter that Jordan Poole was. So you got to find who is the shooter. Is it DiVincenzo? Is it, you know, who is it? Is the shooter for them? And on the second unit, I'd be a little bit
unless concerned. Unless they have really high hopes on Brandon Podzimski that they drafted in the first round this year. Yeah. But, I mean, that's a stretch by itself. So I don't know. This Golden State team is something to watch for. We'll have to keep an eye out as we go. So, Jason, one last signee that you want to talk about. What you got?
I mean, let's go ahead and throw out Kyle Kuzma, re-sign with the Wizards.
Kuzma!
Play alongside my boy Jordan Poole. Now, if they would have kept Bradley Beal, that might have been a little bit more interesting, but that organization is a disaster. We've talked about that before, which is why I'm glad Bradley Beal got out of there. Jordan Poole's there just to make a name for himself, and then he might be able to go back to the Warriors in 3 years after Steph retires. But I think you had to bring back Kyle Kuzma, even though they're still not going to be very relevant. Maybe you can make a push for that play-in tournament or something. But Kyle Kuzma is a good player. I just think that that's a toxic organization.
I agree. with that.
I agree. I agree 100%. They could be
in that way.
I know you said they could make a push for the play-in. They could be with Orlando as the worst team in the East possibly.
No doubt.
And I are there any other names that are still on the board that interest you guys? Because for me, outside of Mac McClung, I want to see where he's going to go do his superstar dunks. There's not really a whole lot of interesting free agents left out there on the list, except for, I think we already talked about Westbrook and D'Angelo Russell, but
yeah.
Give me some, how about Mac McClung to the Warriors? He can just come in there with CP3 on that second unit and throw up a thunder dunk.
I don't get it,
man. Hey man, that would be like, hey, that would be like Lob City back in the day with Clippers. Just throw
it would be, right?
CP3 yeah, and be. Mac McClung on that second unit when the game gets boring.
It would
be. Hey, where does our guy going, Jason? Udoka Azubuki. Does he get signed somewhere?
Yeah, probably in the Euro League somewhere.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or in China.
They'll dominate over there. just kind of going down the way. Like I said, we talked about Christian Wood being one. Does Dylan Brooks get signed? That's a big thing there. That'd be kind of interesting. See if he gets put anywhere. Max Strus we saw get signed today on that. Malik Beasley we talked about as well. There's not a lot of big guys that I'd be looking for right now. Danny Green, does he give a vet presence somewhere on that one?
This free agency class was just so underwhelming this year.
Pat Bev, does he get signed somewhere at 35? You know, with this podcast going and everything like that. Yeah, that's kind of it. D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
John Wall, really a free agent?
He is a free agent. He is. I read that yesterday. I think that he was a free agent. Yeah. But when's the last time he played in the league?
He played last year.
Did he do any? I mean, has he done? He hadn't done anything since his Washington days, right?
So
he can't shoot.
Yeah, that's the other problem. He's not a shooter.
Yeah, last year he was with the Clippers. His last game was January 13th of this year. So he was six for 12, 2 for 4 from three. He hasn't been the same. His injuries have really took him out.
Some of these guys are just going to sign veteran minimums. They're still going to be sitting out there.
Did
a couple of nice things with those two guys.
Oladipo coming back to OKC, but can he stay on the court? We saw him in the playoffs not even stay on the court. I mean, Jason, do you like that move to Oladipo to the OKC Thunder?
No, I mean, he at this stage of his career, he's a pretty shitty player. When he was in his prime, which was like what, 1 to 2 years with the Pacers, he played at an all-star level. But after that, man, he doesn't move the needle and he can't stay healthy. So I mean, he's on the Thunder, dude. So they're not going to use him much unless he's just on the second unit.
Hang on, guys. We got some breaking news here. And
James Harden gets traded to the Clippers.
No. Actually, it's crazier than that here. According to Woj, 4 minutes ago, ESPN sources with Ramon Shelburne, Portland guard Damian Lillard has requested a trade, and the franchise is expected to work to accommodate him. Dame Lillard is on his way out of Portland.
I told you guys.
Holy crap. I told you
that as many times as I heard them say, oh, we're going to keep him. We're going to keep him over and over and over. They're just trying to drive up the price. And so, I'm telling you right now, it's either Golden State or Miami. Period. End of story. It's one of those two teams.
Here's what I think. Pat Riley's been trying to talk to management about making a blockbuster. I bet you Dame Lillard ends up in Miami.
Yeah.
Sure. It's free.
I'm telling you, you just give them as many picks as they want with Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and get it over with.
I agree 100%. I think Portland would take Tyler Hero and another player and some draft capital for Dame Lillard. I think it would happen because you got to make the money almost that much.
he too aggressively pursue. Yeah,
the money will match up with Hero and Duncan Robinson, and you're getting shooters. You're getting two amazing shooters.
Yeah,
to go to Portland, and so you're getting rid of Dame, who's only got probably 2 years left in his prime, and so I would want to see. I mean, I was rooting for Miami in the finals this year so hard, but like those are the two teams that I would want to see him go to the most. So
what do you think?
He had put it out there that either Brooklyn or Miami were the two destinations he wanted to go to. And I think he was turned off by Brooklyn for something that he was turned off by Brooklyn in the playoffs. He thought Brooklyn quit in a couple of those games. So I think Miami is the place he wants to go.
Yeah, like that. If he went to Brooklyn, dude, even if he went to the Clippers, that would be so disappointing.
Yeah.
Because I want to see him play for a team that's ready to win right now.
All right. What do you guys think pushed Lillard to request that trade? Do you think it was the lack of day one free agency signings, or do you think it was the scoop pick?
I think they just sat down. I think it was yesterday or maybe 2 days ago. He just sat down, and him and his representative sat down with the Blazers, and they just had a discussion. And I think it was probably a mutual agreement where they said, "Hey, man, we want to do what's best for you and your career, because you've been very loyal all of these years to the Blazers. And now we want to see you, advance your career and get what you deserve, which is to have a shot at winning a championship." So I think it was more of a mutual decision thing than it was like Dame, because we all know Dame did not want out of there. He wanted to play his whole career with one jersey. And I think it was probably more of the Blazers sitting down with him and saying, "Hey, we want to do what's best for you in this situation."
I think that's just what it is. Some guys, organizations say, "We want you to get a championship. We're going to trade you someplace where you can make that happen." So I think that's what they said. They're probably a handful of years away from even getting into the playoff mix here. So,
yeah, Dame would have been retired by the time that they could have been worth a shit.
Yeah.
Blazing Saddles. You know what? Good for Dame. Good for Dame. Yeah. I hope he gets out there and gets a good team and goes somewhere that
Let's talk about this. Does that do you guys, if he goes to Miami, does that make Miami the prohibitive favorite now to win a championship next year?
I don't think so, but
I think
if we mean not even close.
Not even close, dude.
They just
I'll made give them top seven.
Dude, they just made the finals and Denver lost Bruce Brown. How does it not make them?
I'll give them top seven. I'll give them top
seven.
Yeah.
Where are you at on that, Scott?
I think that if they do not trade Bam in this deal, if it happens, and it's Hero, it's what Tanner laid out, I think they're top three in the East for sure. I don't know what they'll be in terms of the finals, but I think they're top three in the East. Milwaukee, Boston, Miami. I think that's going to be the three.
Yeah, definitely a contender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what was Miami missing in the playoffs last year? They were missing that shooter. They didn't shoot the ball very well in the playoffs, in the finals. Never mind the playoffs, the finals. So I think Dame Lillard brings them a calming influence that can get Butler the ball and can get Bam the ball where they need it, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, definitely a contender. I mean, obviously we never talked about it, but the Bucks re-signed Chris Middleton, so they're certainly going to be a factor next year. You got the Celtics. We'll see what happens with Philly. If they move off of, obviously Harden is going to be gone. Yep. So do they maybe take a step back?
They do.
But I agree with you, Scott. I think if they're not the prohibitive favorite, they're certainly going to be top two, top three in the East.
Yeah, I think with Milwaukee signing Middleton back yesterday, I think that them and Boston are the two favorites, as long as Boston stays with Brown and Tatum and Porzingis. If they trade Brown and don't refill him or replace him, all bets are off with Boston. But I think if Boston comes back as the team they are now, I think they have a chance with Milwaukee and Miami to compete for the East. So.
They'll be okay. Miami was missing Butler's cape to spring free. Yeah, they were trying to get Butler, who played ten more minutes per game over that team, to in a bam to save them again, making the checks matter. Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting on this whole Dame Lillard now. That news just came out, so that's hilarious. Oh man, guys, that was a fantastic show today. Let's wrap it up here. We won't be on every weekend, but when something big comes up, expect us to at least throw a show in here during this off season here. It's been a blast doing this almost every weekend here with you guys over the last 3-4 months. So, I can't wait to continue this on as we enter next season as well, and have a little fun with it. But yeah, expect us, if something big happens, a Harden trade, a Paul George trade, maybe when Dame signs, we might pop on for 20 minutes here and maybe discuss something. So, but make sure you guys hit that bell, like, subscribe, and don't forget to just tune in, because there's still tons of stuff that we do outside of this. So everybody have a fabulous weekend. Have a safe 4th, and we'll catch you next time. We'll see you guys.
See you guys.